Libertarian or conservative? How about a take on government that's just chock full of common sense? Kristen B. Tate gives her take exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Look, I believe that the president is literally an existential threat to America.
They're saying, where is he? What happened? He makes his stance in Iowa once every 2 weeks, and then he mentions my name 74 times in one speech. I don't know. That reminds me of Crooked Hillary. She did the same thing.
You know what? They better be careful. I'm just saying, when Trump brands you, and if he's good at this, Biden he's going to be likened to Hillary a lot. I'm just saying, watch what Trump does here, friends. He's a different animal on the campaign trail completely. He's doing his negotiations with heads of state. He's being all, you know, reserved and quiet and negotiable and peaceful, and like he's with the queen, he's all proper and everything like that. You get him in the wild cornfields of Iowa, and you get Biden taking pot shots at him, and suddenly he's calling him similar to Hillary. How does that work well for Joe Biden? Let's talk to Kristen B. Tate about it. Kristen is a contributor for The Hill. You see her all over Fox News and other cable outlets. And she's the best-selling author of two books already, a third on the way. Kristen, it's good to have you back. Thanks for being here. Don't you think Biden had better tread a little bit carefully so that he doesn't draw the branding fire, the branding iron, I should say, of Trump?
Yes. I mean, I think that the Democratic nomination is Biden's to lose right now. He is polling very well in the Democratic field. But to your point, Kevin, he's got to be careful. You know, if you go after Trump, he'll come after you twice as hard. So if I were Biden, I would kind of keep my head down, stay focused on the issues, and I think he's got to stay in that moderate lane. Another issue Biden has run into lately is he's kind of been trying to excite the progressives on the Democratic side by saying really crazy stuff that you would expect from an Elizabeth Warren, not from a Joe Biden. And the only way Biden's going to win against Trump is if he can get some of those union workers and blue-collar people back under the Democratic tent. But he's not going to be able to do that if he goes the progressive, crazy left-wing route.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the routes that he could go. The other is to, try to take Trump on one-on-one. But I don't know. If Trump decides to make Biden's brand Hillary light, I think that's the kiss of death for him. And I think that I think that Trump's going to win anyway, but we'll see where all that goes. He did promise to cure cancer, Kristen, just so you know. If you've got any people in your life, like my mom, like my bride's mom, who died from cancer, you know, don't get all offended or upset about it. He could have cured it this whole time. He's just waiting till he's president to do it, I guess, is the thinking behind it. Kind of like Michelle Obama. Wasn't proud of her country until her husband was president. Biden's not going to cure cancer until he becomes president. You know, these Democrats, they're very selfless, you know, in their approach to life, really looking out for the average man and woman. Hey, let's talk a little bit about this border stuff, because we've been all over this, of course, but I thought Mexico was kind of put over the burner with Trump's demands last week. And I think that he got a win out of that. But the story that scared me, and I haven't talked about it on air yet, was the line in San Antonio. Where they had hundreds of illegal immigrants that had come in from the southern border that came from Ebola-based countries in Africa. What's your reaction to what's going on with these relocations right now?
Yeah, so it's true that most of the immigrants coming over our border right now are from Central America, but a lot of people don't realize we're also getting lots of people from African countries, particularly those that are affected by Ebola. You have Africans fleeing this pandemic, and then once they get to the U.S., they are relocated inside the heartland of the country. I'm reading a report right now that says Portland, Maine, which is up near where I grew up, near New Hampshire, a little city. Portland's not very big. Portland, Maine is being overwhelmed by these African migrants. And, this is what makes so many people so angry is that we get these migrants, they're not properly screened. We have no idea who's coming in, and then they get transported to places that cannot handle them. And then when Trump suggests, oh, hey, maybe we should put some migrants in sanctuary cities that say they want these people, the Democrats lose their minds. So you have small cities like Portland, Maine, that have to deal with this problem. And I have no idea why we're not screening these people. I have no idea why we would let anyone into the country with Ebola. But sadly, this has become common practice now. And I saw another report yesterday that said the TSA is flying these people to different parts of the country without even proper documentation. They're basically just letting random people onto U.S. planes with subsidized tickets. So it's really scary on multiple levels.
Well, then you have the director of Homeland Security before Congress yesterday admitting that in excess of 90%, Kristen, that's not 9%, 90%. In excess of 90% of illegal immigrants that are coming across the southern border are given a court date and they're not showing up. 90% are not showing up for their court dates.
Right. And that's part of the problem. I mean, we have no way to track these people down because we don't put tracking devices on them. We don't even know their real names in a lot of these cases because they come here with no documentation. So they basically just get to stay. And then eventually they know a Democratic president will come in and give them all amnesty like Obama did with the Dreamers. So something has got to change. Trump is getting no help from Congress. There's only so much he can do by himself. That's why I was more optimistic about the Mexican tariff threats than I normally am about other tariff threats.
Because right.
At this point, it's like one of the last tools that Trump has at his disposal because he gets no help from Washington.
Yeah. Well, which is a good case for why people should send him help in 2020. Hey, your most recent piece for The Hill, as usual, is must reading. Crazy Pork Barrel Projects, One More Exhibit of Reckless Spending. What'd you find? What's the takeaway from this?
The takeaway is that the use of earmarks in Washington has been skyrocketing in recent years and nobody cares. Earmarks are basically just the practice of congressmen redirecting funds to basically expensive pet projects that may have no rationale. I believe we spent about $15 billion on such earmark spending last year, and this is a figure that continues to go up. Many Americans aren't aware of it, but it's really infuriating if you see some of the items our tax dollars are being spent on. Some of the stuff just makes no sense, and if any private company operated the way that our federal government does in terms of spending, they would be shut down. The door would be closed within a year.
They'd have to. They'd be out of business. Reader in The Hill, watch her on TV, Kristen B. Tate. Thanks for being here. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.